Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Mem He. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Joseph Arani on his graduation, dedicated by his mother and father. May he have continued success with the will of Hashem and the guidance of his rabbi. May he continue his studies in Eretz Yisrael and have much happiness and success in all his endeavors. Congratulations, Joe. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilui Nishmat Avraham ben Esther and Rabbi Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are studying on Mem He, and we are going to begin at Ba'amineh. That is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 lines down. We continue the subject of Mukseh. Ba'amineh Rishlakish mi Rabbi Yohanan. The Shlakish asked from Rabbi Yohanan, Hitim shezara'an bekarka. Hitim is wheat that were planted in the ground before Shabbat. Ubetzim shetachat tarnegolet. For that matter, an egg that's under the chicken. They placed an egg under the chicken in order to have it fertilize into an egg, into a chick. Mahu. The question is it mukseh or not? Meaning, can you pull the wheat out of the ground on Shabbat? Or can you take that egg under the chicken? What's the question? How could you go pull a wheat out of the ground on Shabbat? You have an isur of tolesh. So right away, Rashi tells us, Shezara'an bekarka ve'adayin lo hishlishu. We're talking where you put him in the ground, but it did not take root yet. So therefore you have no issue of tolesh. The Ritba also points out that it's placed in such a way where you're not going to have to come in contact with mukseh as well, because the dirt is mukseh. So therefore the question is, since you placed it in the ground, maybe that's as if you pushed it away, and therefore it's not on your mind for Shabbat, and therefore it should be mukseh. For that matter, the egg that you placed under the chicken, by placing it under the chicken in order for it to fertilize it, so to speak, or to have it turn into a chick, so that means you put it out of your mind, so to speak. So now maybe on Shabbat it'll be forbidden to go either take the wheat or to go take the egg. So the Gemara says again, Ba'amineh Rishlakish min Rabbi Yohanan. Rishlakish asked from Rabbi Yohanan, Hitim shezara'am bekarka, ubeitzim shetachat tarnegolet. Mao, what's the din? Is it mukseh? Ki let le Rabbi Shimon mukseh, hecha delo dachya biyadayim. Maybe we say when Rabbi Shimon, who was the lenient opinion in mukseh, when is he lenient in mukseh? When it's regarding something that you didn't push away with your hands. However, hechad dehaya biyadayim, but over here, where you pushed it away with the hand, so to speak, meaning you went out of your way and you put the wheat in the ground before Shabbat, that's as if you are taking it away from you. You are pushing it away. So maybe he would agree that in this case it is mukseh. Itle mukseh. Or dilmala shena. Or maybe no. The Bishamon is so lenient in mukseh that even an item that he pushed away before Shabbat still is non-mukseh. So the question really is, to what extent does the Bishamon hold no mukseh? Does he hold it in all cases, even where you put it out of your mind before Shabbat? You took this wheat and you put it in the ground. Maybe that's considered dechiyah biyadayim, literally pushing with your hands, which means you took it out of your mind and therefore it should be mukseh. Same thing with the egg. Or maybe not. Comes Gemara and says, Amar le. He answered them back, En mukseh le Rabbi Shimon, El Hashemen Shebener B'Sha'ah Shehu Dolek. He told them the only mukseh for Rabbi Shimon, doesn't mean the only mukseh, one of the only mukses for Rabbi Shimon is the oil that's in the receptacle only while it's lit. Why? Hoil vehuksal mitzvato huksal isuro. Because this oil was designated for the mitzvah of Adlakat Ner Shabbat, and it's also forbidden for me to take this oil, because by taking this oil I would be over the Isur of Mechabeh, which is one of the 39 Melachot extinguishing. So only in such cases, where you have two reasons to say it's Mukseh, you have Huksale Mitzvato and Huksale Isuro. Let's review. The case of the Shemen and the Ner, there's two logics working here. Number one, it was designated for a Mitzvah. The oil was designated for a Mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Shabbat. And number two, it's considered huksah le'isuro, meaning that I cannot take from this oil because it would cause me to transgress the issur of extinguishing. So the Gemara is telling us rules now. When does Rabbi Shimon hold of mukseh? When it has these two items, huksah le'mitzvato, huksah le'isuro. And if it has less than these two items, no mukseh. The case of the wheat, for example, putting it in the ground, there's no mitzvah there. It wasn't designated for a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to have wheat in the ground. And there's no isur of pulling it out of the ground because it did not take root. So therefore, it does not have the principle of huksal mitzvah, huksal isur. Therefore, it'll be mutar. The egg case as well. There's no mitzvah to put an egg under a chicken. And for that matter, there's no isur in taking it. And therefore, the Bishamon will not subscribe to mukseh in such a case. However, in the case of the ner, taking the oil is mukseh on two counts. It's mukseh on the count, number one, it was designated for the mitzvah. And it's mukseh on the count of it was designated, or there's isur involved. Now, we don't need really that logic of mukseh regarding taking the oil, because taking the oil itself in the ner, you can't take it regardless because it's mechabeh. You don't need to come out to mukseh. You can't take the oil because it's extinguishing. You didn't need a isur of mukseh on the oil itself. So Tosafot speaks out that you're not allowed to not only take the oil that's in the ner itself, but as we learned, even the oil that drips. Into the receptacle that you placed, that oil as well also is mukseh, so long as the ner is lit. And that's where huksal isuro comes in. Meaning, since it would be forbidden for me to take the oil from the actual ner itself, because it would be subject to extinguishing, so therefore all the oil becomes forbidden, no matter where it is. Even the oil that is in the keli, in the receptacle, that really if I take that oil, there's no extinguishing on that oil. But since it's off limits, the oil, because of the isud of kibui, so therefore no matter where the oil is, Tosafot says, it becomes asur. But that's only as long as the ner is lit. Once the ner goes out, now there's no more mitzvah, and now there's no more isud. So now the ner becomes movable, the receptacle itself, and the oil that dripped into that vessel also becomes permissible. So that's the only case where the Bishamon holds mukseh. Comes the Gemara and says, Velet le huksal mitzvato. The Bishamon doesn't hold that something that was designated for a mitzvah alone becomes mukseh. The Gemara is going to show you a case where something is only designated for a mitzvah and still Rabbi Shimon is going to hold mukseh, even though you don't have isur. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'atanya, we learned in Masechet Sukkah, a Braita. Sikecha kelcheta. Let's say you built a sukkah, and you built it according to the halakha. Ve'etera, and you adorned the sechach bekeramim. What is keramim? That she says bigdesiv onim, meaning colored garments. Ubesadinim hamtsuyarim. Or you adorn the schach with, let's say, linens, embroidered linens, or things like that. Vetala ban, you hung from the schach egozim. Egozim would be walnuts. Afarsekin, peaches. Shekedim, almonds. Rimonim, or you hung from the schach pomegranates. Afarchale shel anavim, bunches or clusters of grapes. Va'atarot shel shibolim would be wreaths of wheat. Yenot, little jugs of oil. Shemanim, I'm sorry, yenot would be jugs of wine. Shemanim would be jugs of oil. Besaltot, or jugs of solet, that would be like fine flour. So it means you're using that as noi sukkah. All these different fruits and different items you're hanging from the skach for noi. So what's the deen? As soon as tapek mehem, you cannot benefit from them ad motzei yom tov aharon, until the end of the holiday. Why? Because these were designated for noi sukkah. Noi sukkah is a mitzvah. So therefore they're off limits. Guy wants to eat a peach from the noi, asur. Even if it, let's say, fell off. Since it was designated for the noi sukkah, the mitzvah, it becomes mukseh the entire holiday. V'mitna alehem. But if you made a condition, let's say before you put it up, you made a condition and you said, any bodel mehen, which means I'm not separating myself from them. Meaning, if I want to eat them, I'm eating them. So therefore, you didn't take them out of your mind from personal consumption. Then already the Gemara says, akol lefi tena'o. It all goes according to his condition. So the Gemara is saying, hey, we have a clear braita. And the braita is telling us what? That something that was designated for a mitzvah alone, all of a sudden makes it mukseh. Now, there's no isud over here. What's the isud over here? If you take a noi off your sukkah, that's not considered destroying the sukkah. And even if you want to say it is considered destroying the sukkah on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, there's no isud of taking down noi, even if it's going to dismantle your sukkah. And therefore, there's no isud over here. How could you tell me it's going to be asur the entire holiday? You just said, according to the Bishimon, that what? That to be mukseh, you need two things. You need huksah lemitzvato, and you need also an isud in there to become mukseh. Here it's just huksah lemitzvato. It's not huksah leisudo, because there's no isud over here. Let's say this, taking down the noi. Let's say it would entail breaking the sukkah. On Chol HaMoed, there's no isur. You're allowed to break a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. And therefore, still the Gemara says it's asur all seven. Why should it be asur all seven? It's only designated for mitzvah. So we're asking a question on Rabbi Shimon. The only question is, who said Rabbi Shimon agrees to this statement? So that's the Gemara's next question. Umimai de Rabbi Shimon hi. Who told you that this is Rabbi Shimon? It's nameless. There's no name in this braita. So who says this is Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, no, Detani Rav Chaya bar Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yohanan. So we have another braita from Rabbi Yosef that said in front of Rabbi Yohanan, En notlim etzim min asukah biyom tov, Ela min asamukhla, Verabbi Shimon matir. Now, there's different types of sukkot. The regular meaning of the word sukkah means a hut that was built for shade. That's the regular definition. Then you have sukkat hahag. Then you have a sukkah that was built specifically for sukkot, for the holiday. The first case of this braita is talking about a regular sukkah, a hut that was built for shade. And what does it say? It says, En notlim etzim min asukkah biyom tov. You're not allowed to take some wood from the schach itself of a regular hut on Yom Tov, meaning not even Sukkot, Pesach, or Shavuot. I want to go take some wood because I need it for my fire. Well, you can't take it from the sukkah. Why? Because taking it from the sukkah, you're dismantling the sukkah. You're not allowed to dismantle a sukkah on Yom Tov. However, it says, Ela min ha-samukhla. However, if let's say you have some schach on the side of the sukkah, which means let's say you had some pile of schach by the side. So therefore, taking that schach is not a problem. Samukh, it's not on top of the wall of the sukkah where you're dismantling the sukkah. So you'd be allowed to take that that schach. So it says, V'Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says, mutar. Which means, what do you mean mutar? How can it be mutar? Rabbi Shimon's not going to allow you to dismantle a sukkah. So he says, if let's say it fell off. Let's say some of the schach on that regular sukkah fell down. So Rabbi Shimon says, mutar. Why? Because now it's not part of the sukkah anymore. There's no isur in dismantling it. So Rabbi Shimon is lenient. However, it says, Veshavim. But both Rabbi Shimon and the rabbis agree, Besukkah tahag, that a sukkah of Sukkot, behag, on the holiday of Sukkot, Shehu asura, that those pieces of schach are forbidden. Even if they fall down, they're off limits. Why? Because huksah le mitzvato. Because those schach were designated for a mitzvah. So what do you see over here? That Rabbi Shimon holds just huksah le mitzvato alone. Now again, we're talking about the whole holiday. Which means, even on Chol HaMoed, where there's no isud anymore involved, it's just huksah le mitzvato, and still, it's forbidden to take the schach. Now, v'imitna alea. Now, surely, if you made it tonight, let's say before you put the schach up, and you said, if it falls down, I want to use it. Okay, then the Bishwan agrees. I call the feet in our. It all goes according to this condition. But basically, the question that we're asking is, you just told me that the only time the Bishwan holds of mukseh exactly is when you have two conditions, huksah le mitzvato. Which means when you have an issue where it's designated for a mitzvah and also there's isur involved, like the case of the ner, where it's designated for ner Shabbat, and also there's isur involved in taking the oil because it's mechabeh. In that case, it's totally out of your mind to use it, mukseh, mashma, that if it's only one, for example, huksah le mitzvato, no problem. But here we see, in the case of sukkah, where Rabbi Shimon subscribes and says what? That the noy, let's say. The noy in the first braita, the noy sukkah, the decorations, are off limits all 7 days. As a matter of fact, he says even all 8 days, even to the last day of the Admotzei Yom Tov Aharon. What do you mean? There, it's only considered huksan le mitzvato. Because during Chol HaMoed, there is no isur to take down schach, even if it dismantles the sukkah. Chol HaMoed is mutar. So there's no isur, it's just mitzvah. And don't tell me that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold it as braita because none say his name. Because I have a second braita that clearly says that Rabbi Shimon holds that a sukkah of Sukkot, that some of its bamboo, some of its wood, fell on the holiday, off limits, you can't use it. Why? Huksah le mitzvato. So therefore the first braita must also be Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Ke'en shemen shebener ka'amrinan. Which means when we said above that the only mukseh that Rabbi Shimon holds of is shemen shebener, don't say shemen shebener. Say like shemen shebener. Cases like it. Which now we're a little more flexible. Now already we opened it up a little. Ke'en shemen shebener. And what is the common denominator? Ho'il v'uksal le'mitzvato, uksal le'isuro. Meaning, the way the Gemara is saying, that the main point is uksal le'mitzvato. Now, happens to be in the case of the ner, it's also huksah le'isuro, but not that really you need both. It's really enough to have huksah le'mitzvato to make something mukseh. or Huxale Isuro alone, which means either one alone is enough to make something Muksef for Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, the case of Sukkah applies, which means by Sukkah you have Huxah Mitzvato. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon will agree. She's, we're changing our original premise. Our original premise was for something to be Muksef for Rabbi Shimon, you need both. Huxah Mitzvato ve Isuro. The answer, no.
One or the other
is fine. If Uksali Mitzvato, that would be Mukseh. Uksali Isuro alone, that would also be Mukseh. Itmar Nameh, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yohanan, En Mukseh L'Rabbi Shimon, Ela Ke'en Shemen Shebener. Again, we have another statement to support what we just said. That for Rabbi Shimon, Mukseh only applies to things like, not only, like Shemen Shebener, B'Sha'ah Shu Donek, only when it is lit. With Huksah LeMitzvato, Huksah LeIsuro. The way they're explaining it is because when it's lit, it's Huksah LeMitzvato. And since it's Huksah LeMitzvato, that enough will make Mukseh. And the words Huksah LeIsuro means in a case where, let's say, you didn't have Huksah LeMitzvato, you'd only have a case of Huksah LeIsuro, or I'll explain it easier to you, the way the words Huksah LeIsuro, because really you don't need Huksah LeIsuro anymore, you just need Huksah LeMitzvato, but it means that it's only Asur, it's only Mukseh when it's lit, because that is the Mitzvah. So that she brings down, if you look at that, she dibura matqil ke'en shemen kamina. That's towards the bottom of Rashi. Ke'en shemen kamina. Velo mishum isur. Not because of isur, ela mishum mitzvah. That's the main reason why you cannot take from the oil, because it was designated for the mitzvah of Nerot Shabbat. Do'ir duksa le mitzvato de Shabbat. Huksah lechol zman isur delekato. Now she's just telling you how long is that isur last for. So that's going to last that so long as it is lit. Velo yoter de'en mitzvato ela b'sha'at delekato. The mitzvah is only at the time that it is lit. Umeshikaba en bo mitzvah. Which is once it goes out, the mitzvah is gone. Which means the isur of it is only when it is lit. The isur of mukseh is going to only apply so long as it's still lit while the mitzvah is being fulfilled. Finish the Rashi. Aval besukat achag mitzvata kol shiva. By sukkah, the mitzvah is all seven. Vaksata kol zeman mitzvata. Therefore, the mukseh is going to be the whole week. Now, Tosafot has a very important point over here. The case of, let's say, noy sukkah. The Braita said it's Asur Ad Motza'ei Yom Tov Acharon. That means Motza'ei Yom Tov Acharon is the last day of Sukkot, which means the end of Shemini Atzeret. You have 7 days of Sukkot, but Motza'ei Yom Tov Acharon is the eighth day of Sukkot. Now, why should it be Asur on the eighth day? The only reason why the Schach should be Asur, there's no mitzvah of Sukkah on the eighth day. So the only reason why Schach should be Asur on the eighth day is because on the seventh day at Ben Hashem Ashot, at twilight, which is Safek Yom Safek Laila, which is going into the eighth day, since at that point over there, bottom line, it's Safek, so therefore the mitzvah is still really applicable. So since at Ben Hashem Ashot of the seventh day going into the eighth day, it was Asur, so therefore becomes Asur the entire eighth day. But Rabbi Shimon, as we learned, does not hold of that mukseh of going through Ben Hashem Ashot. We call that form of mukseh mukseh le'isuro, which means mukseh mahmat isur, which means something going through Ben Hashem Ashot mukseh. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that. What's the proof? The proof is of the nerot, which means the ner, we said clearly, that even though it was lit through Ben Hashem Ashot, still once it goes out, it's permissible. So it doesn't go with that Ben Hashem Ashot. So Tosfot learns, you have to say, according to the Bishamon, really it's only Mukseh for 7 days. But on the eighth day, it would not be Mukseh. The Ramban comes along and gives a different answer. He says, no. It can be mukse even according to the Bishimon on the eighth day. Oh. Why? Because there's a big difference between the Ner case and the Noisukah case. In the Ner case, why did we say it's not mukse bin Hashem Ashot? Because he anticipates that it's going to go out. So since he anticipates it's going to go out, so it's not mukse. For example, didn't we say if you're using big glasses where he doesn't anticipate it to go out? So therefore we said, for example, by a kos or a kehara or a shashit, where it's big, we said even a bishamon will say after it goes out, it's mukse, because he didn't anticipate it to go out. So therefore the same thing over here. Since he doesn't anticipate the noisukah coming down, so therefore in a chenameh, ben Hashem Ashot, it will be mukseh as well, and therefore it will be forbidden on the eighth day as well. So it comes that we have a mahloket between Tosfot and the Ramban, what Rabbi Shimon would hold on the eighth day of Sukkot regarding the noi. But for the purposes of Rabbi Shimon's shita, huksan mitzvato is enough to make mukseh. Hence, the case of the ner is huksan mitzvato. And how long is that mitzvah? So long as that is still lit, that's when it's isur. However, once it goes out, there's no more mitzvah, mutar. The case of noi will be the whole holiday. The case of, let's say, the schach itself is also the entire holiday. Comes the Gemara and continues. Now we're going to ask another question according to the Bishimon. Okay, this Gemara is all trying to clarify shitat, the Bishimon, by mukseh. Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shemuel, En mukseh l'Rabbi Shimon, there's no mukseh for Rabbi Shimon, Ela grogrot v'tzimukim bilvad. Grogrot would be dried up figs, and tzimukim would be dried raisins. Now, what does that mean? This is the only mukseh. Now, don't be fooled whenever it says this is the only mukseh. We just gave another case of mukseh, huksan mitzvato. This is, when it says that, it means this is one of the only types of mukseh according to the Bishimon. Now what is grogrot v'tzimukim? What they would do is they would take dates, or figs, te'anim, I'm sorry, figs, and they would place them on top of the roof before Shabbat in order to dry them. Now, in the drying process, the way it works is, at a certain stage, they become unedible. It seems with the sun drying them out, they become mushy, or however you want to say it, it's unedible for a while. And then it finally gets dried up. At the time it gets dried up, it's called the gerogeret. Gerogeret was a dried fig. Or you have tzimukim, there you take raisins. You take actually grapes. And you put the grapes on top of the roof, and the sun beats down on them, it dries it out. Again, there's a certain stage between the grape and the raisin where it becomes unedible. So Rabbi Shimon agrees that if a guy, let's say, before Shabbat, went and took grapes and put them on the roof to dry out, or he took his figs and he went on the roof, so that already is mukseh. That's off limits on Shabbat. Why? Because he actually went biyadayim with his hands, and he pushed them away, and as we're going to learn, they also became not edible. So you have two things going on here. You have the fact that you pushed it away, and that it's not edible for a certain stage, so therefore it is mukseh. So the Gemara says, let's read that inside again. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shemuel, En mukseh l'Rabbi Shimon, Ela grogrot v'tzimukim bilvad. Comes the Gemara and says, Umidi aharin ala? What, other items that you put on the roof? No. It's mashma only figs and grapes. Anything else, the Mishnah will say it's not mukseh. So the Gemara challenges that. Ve'atanya, didn't we learn in the Braita? Haya ochel bet'enim. Let's say a guy was eating figs. Ve'otir. And he had some leftovers. Ve'elan legag. And he went up to the roof, he placed them on the roof, la'asot mehem grogrot, to make dried figs, or ba'anavim, he was eating grapes, ve'oti, and there was leftovers, ve'elan le'gag, and he brought them up to the roof, la'asot mehem tzimukim, in order to make raisins, Lo yachel ad shiyazmin. Lo yochal ad shiyazmin. Meaning, now they're mukseh. You cannot eat them until, let's say, before Shabbat, you designate them. Which is, let's say, you put them on the roof on Wednesday. Now they're on the roof. Now, if you're not going to make any designation prior to Shabbat, these fruit that are on the roof are going to remain mukseh. The only way you could use them on Shabbat is before Shabbat, you have to actually say, alright, on Shabbat, these fruit over here that are on the roof, they're on limits, which means I'm going to eat from them. Without that designation, since you put them on the roof and they're in the drying process, they remain mukseh. V'chen ata omer, and similarly we say the same law applies to be'afarsekin. Afarsekin would be a peach, which means you take a peach, you're in the middle of eating it, now you decide some leftovers, and you put it on the roof, they also become mukseh. V'havushin. What is Havushin? Look at that she. Tibuna Matril Havushin. That's three lines on the bottom. What does that she say? Havushin. Kvince. So that's talking about a quince. It's like a sour apple. So the point is, Ubishar kol mine perot. And for that matter, all other fruit. So you see over here, it doesn't only apply to Grogrot Vitzimukim. It applies to any fruit that you put on the roof. It becomes Mukseh. Now again, who told you this is Rabbi Shimon's statement here? It's a nameless braita. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of this statement? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda. If you're going to tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda, who's more strict on the laws of Mukseh? Uma echa de lo dachaya biyadayim itle Mukseh. Echa de dachaya biyadayim lo kol sheken. Rabbi Yehuda holds of mukseh even in cases where you did not push it away. For example, that she says, let's say you have food and you placed it in your otzar, you placed it in your storage house. Now that's not the hayabi yadayim, I mean you put it there where it belongs, in the storage. See, the biyu that says once you even put it in the storage, it's considered mukseh over Shabbat. Where you don't have to put it on the roof according to the Rabbi Shimon. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry. Therefore, to say this braita as Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need to say it Rabbi Yehuda. Why do you have to put it on the roof according to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, even less. Placing it in the storage is considered mukseh. So, therefore, it cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. So, who must it be? So, the Gemara says, Ela lav Rabbi Shimoni. It must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And what is Rabbi Shimon saying over here? That not only Grogrot Vitzimukim, but Hu Adin, all fruits that you put on the roof. So why did you tell me only Grogrot Vitzimukim? So the Gemara says, Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda. I can tell you now, the author of this braita is Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the Hiddush according to Rabbi Yehuda? So he says, Ve'ochel Itztirichale. The Hiddush is that this case over here, if you follow the Braita, it wasn't Stam, you just took fruit and put it on the roof. You were in the middle of eating them. You were eating them, and what happened? You had some leftovers. So, Salka dat akamina kevan de kachil ve'azil lo libe'e hazmana. I might have thought that since you were eating them, and in the middle of eating them, you put some on the roof, so maybe your mind is not off of them, because you're in the middle of eating them. So placing it on the roof is not going to require a designation before Shabbat. Kamash ma'alan, kevan de'alan le'gag, asuche ashe le'darte minayu. Kamala, no. Even if you're in the middle of eating them, once you place them on the roof, you're going to need now a designation, because it's like you took your mind off them. So there is a hidush even according to the Biyuda, which means you might have thought, maybe the Biyuda is lenient in such a case, because bottom line, I was eating them, I was enjoying the fruit. So maybe if already you showed your mind that you're eating these fruit, so placing them on the roof really doesn't show a, you know, that you took them out of your mind. Kamash will I know? What's the difference? I don't care if you're eating them. Bottom line, the leftovers that you had, now that you stuck them on the roof, for those fruits over there, they're out of your mind. Therefore, they're going to be mukseh, and therefore you're going to have to pre-designate them when Shabbat comes. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't make a difference what fruit you put on the roof. But according to Rabbi Shimon, only grogrot and simukim, which is the dried figs and the dried grapes. Why? I'm explaining to you, because you have two things there. Number one, you place them on the roof. And number two, there's a point when you place these things on the roof that they become unedible. So therefore, that's really dichiyabiyadayim velora'uy. So again, we learn another rule for the Bishimon. So today we learned so far two rules in the Bishimon. We learned number one, huksale mitzvato makes mukseh, or huksale isuro makes mukseh. Now we're learning a second rule. Pushing something away, so to speak, putting it on the roof, that's not enough. And having a moment of non-edibility to the item, so that combined makes it mukseh. Now the Gemara has a question. Ba'amine Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Merabbi. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi. This is a different Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Asked his father, Rabbi. Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, asked him a question. Let me turn to the Amud Bet. Patz'ile temara le Rabbi Shimon mahu. What's the deal with patz'ile temara, according to Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, Rabbi Shimon, that's lenient and mukseh. What is he hold by patz'ile temara? These are types of dates that do not ripen on the tree. What do you do? You take them off the tree before they ripen and you place them in baskets. As she says, the baskets are made out of palm trees, and you leave them in the basket until they ripen. So the question is, are they considered mukseh or not? Why? Because maybe you're going to consider them like the case of the grogrot and simukim, that, you know, you put them in the basket, so to speak, and therefore, you know, they're not maybe so edible, maybe it's like you push them away. So he comes along and says, Amar Lei told them, En mukseh de Rabbi Shimon, Ela grogrot v'tzimukim belvad. Says, no, he said it where he said it. Meaning these items are still edible, really. Which is, even when they put them in the basket, you cannot consider that they pushed it away. Because even when they put them in the basket, that she explains in Masechet Betzah, they still have some, you know, viability to them. So therefore, it's different. Masha'ekin, when you put these items on the roof, they become non-edible. Therefore, don't compare this case over here of Patz'ile Timara to the case of Grogot V'Ketzemukim. Rashi's Lashon in Betzah is Aval Elu, meaning the case of Patz'ile Timara, I'm quoting Rashi in Betzah, Lo Dacha Otam Biyadayim. By placing them in the basket, it's not considered pushing them away. The ika da'achil minayu, because people can still really eat them. So therefore, it's not as if you're pushing them away. Good. Now, the Gemara says, v'rabi let le mukseh. Now, the Gemara's question is like this. The fact that Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, asked Rabbi a question in the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that was lenient to mukseh, and Rabbi answered, no, Rabbi Shimon shita is that there's only mukseh by grogot v'tzimukim. It sounds like Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon, which means it sounds like Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon in mukseh and is lenient. The Gemara is going to challenge that. Again, from the fact that the B's son, Rabbi Shimon, asked the question, that according to Rabbi Shimon, that's lenient in mukseh. Now why would he ask his father according to Rabbi Shimon, unless he must have known that his father holds like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he's trying to clarify Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Would Rabbi Shimon also be lenient by Patz'ile Tamara? And he said, yeah, the Patz'ile Tamara is not like Grogrot Mitzimukim. So the Gemara says, oh, must be Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi holds like the lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon by Mukseh. The Gemara challenges that now. Where does it challenge that? It says, V'atana we learned at Masechet Betzah. En mashkin v'shochatin et ha-midbariyot. Aval mashkin v'shochatin et ha-baitot. A rule in the Mishnah. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to make shechita. You're allowed to slaughter animals for eating purposes, but not all animals. It says, "En mashkin v'shochatin et ha-midbariyot." The animals that are called midbariyot, literally ones, the animals that live in the midbar, those that are far from the from the person's farm, let's say, they're out there in the fields, so those are considered off-limits, they're mukseh, they're midbariyot. You cannot make shechita on those animals on Yom Tov. For that matter, it says in mashkin, you can't give them to drink as well. In the olden days, before they would do shechita, they would give the animal a lot of water to drink. Why? Because it would make the skinning of the animal much easier. So therefore, not only, it's easy when you give them liquid, it's easier to skin the animal. So it says, these midbariyot, these animals that are in the midbar, far away, you cannot give them to drink, nor can you slaughter them. Aval mashkin v'shochatin et ha-baitot. Baitot comes from the word bayit, meaning the ones that are close to the house, those you could slaughter on Yom Tov, and you could also give them to drink. Now, the question is, what is considered? How do you define a midbariyot, and how do you define a baitot? So we have a braita for that. V'tanya, eluhen midbariyot. This is the qualification of a midbariyot. What? Kol shiyotzot bepesach v'nichnasot berbi'ah. Meaning, it leaves the guy's farm, let's say, Pesach, goes out to the fields, Pesach, and doesn't come back until the period of rain. What is the rain season? That she says in Mar Hezban. So technically, it grazes out there in the fields for 6 months. That's considered midbariyot. Baitot, what is considered like the domesticated ones, the baitot that come, that are home? Kol shiyotzot v'ro'ot chutz latchum. They go out even outside the domain. Tchum would be, let's say, they even go 2,000 amot outside the city. Uba'ot v'lanot betoch hatchum. But every night, they come and sleep within the domains of the city. That's considered baitot. That's the opinion of Hachamim. Okay? So again, midbariyot, according to Hachamim, is they graze for 6 months at a time. Those are mukseh. You can't slaughter those on Yom Tov. Baitot, they go out during the day, but they come back at night. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, elu ve'elu baitoten. Now, both those cases are baitot. Even the one that grazes for 6 months, that's considered baitot. So then what is midbariyot then? Ve'elu hen midbariyot. Kol shiro'ot ba'afar, ve'en nichnasot la'yishuv lo bimot ha'chama, ve'lo bimot ha'geshamim. Which is, he holds it's got to be out, ba'afar. Ba'afar is in the pastures for 12 months a year. It never comes back. Not in the summer and not in the winter, which is Hakamim said, as long as it comes back in the winter, it's still considered midbariyot, because it's away for 6 months. Rabbi is more mahmir. He says that to be considered midbariyot, it's got to be out there 12 months a year. It doesn't come back, not in the winter, not in the summer. Now, let's analyze for a second. What is Rabbi saying? Rabbi is telling you that you have midbariyot, and these midbariyot are mukseh. Meaning, these animals that are out there in the field, can you make shechita on them on Yom Tov? No, en shochatin et midbariyot. And Rabbi has an opinion on what midbariyot are. So therefore you see that what? Rabbi holds of mukseh. But I thought you hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one that's lenient on mukseh. And now we see Rabbi holds of mukseh. How can he say that he holds of mukseh when we're assuming that he holds like Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara says, I can tell you that even Rabbi Shimon will agree to the case of midbariyot that they are mukseh. Why? Because they'll be similar to the case of groglot v'tzimukim. Let's review. What is the properties of groglot v'tzimukim? Number one, they're out of your mind. You push them away on the roof. And number two, they're not usable. They're not usable, right? They get ruined for a while. Same thing over here. These items over here, that she explains, you push them away, so to speak. Which means they're really not next to the house. Maybe even if they come close to the house, you send them away. You send them back to the field. So it's like what? Dihiya biyadayim. And number two, since it's so difficult to go out there to the fields and get them, because they're far out there, so it's like they're not usable. So therefore they have the same two properties as grogrot v'tzimukin. So therefore, no contradiction. Really, Rabbi holds of Rabbi Shimon. And he is lenient in mukseh. But even Rabbi Shimon said by grogrot and tzimukin, they're mukseh. Because you have the chayabi adayim, and what? They're not usable. So this is a similar case with bariot. You push them out there into the fields, right? They don't come home. So that's dihayabi adayim. And what? Since it's the tirhat to go out there and get them, it's as if they're not viable. And therefore, no stira. That's the first answer of the Gemara. V'iba'et imach. Answer number two. Lidbarav de Rabbi Shimon ka'amarle. Ve'le lo svirale. Which means simple. Just because his son asked him a question, and Rabbi answered the question his son asked him, might Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, asked him, Dad, what do you hold by Patshile Temara? So he said, oh, according to Rabbi Shimon, only Grogot v'tzimukin. But Patshile Temara are not mukseh. Just because he answered in Rabbi Shimon Shita, that means he holds like Rabbi Shimon? He's answering in Rabbi Shimon, but he himself doesn't know the Rabbi Shimon. And what's the proof that he doesn't know the Rabbi Shimon? Because here you clearly, he said by Midbariot, he was Mahmir, that what? They are considered Mukseh. So therefore, I can give a second answer. I can tell you Midbariot are not similar to Grogrot and Simukim. And really, maybe Rabbi Shimon would be lenient by Midbariot as well. But Rabbi himself was Mahmir. He gave a shita of Rabbi Shimon. What? So he can't explain Rabbi Shimon shita? He explained Rabbi Shimon shita by Tatsa'ine Tamara. But he himself doesn't hold of it. So that's the second answer of the Gemara. Third answer. Which means, when Rabbi in Masechet Betzah gave his opinion on Midbariot, implying that what? That there are certain animals that Rabbi will hold are Mukseh. He wasn't talking in his opinion. It's as if he was saying like this to the rabbis that were arguing on him. Listen, I don't hold the mukseh. I don't care mitbariyot, baitot. I don't nothing. I hold like the mishimon. No mukseh. But in you that do hold of mukseh, I don't agree with your definition of mitbariyot, which is rabbis. My opinion is, any animal, I don't care if the animal's out there for 12 months a year, it's not mukseh for me on Yom Tov. But for you, who do hold the mukseh, you shouldn't hold that a midbariyot is that it goes away for 6 months. That's a baitot. You should consider a midbariyot, the shitatchem, to be 12 months a year. And that's what it says. Which means, Rabbi was saying, according to the opinion of the rabbis, which means, ledidi leti mukse klal. According to me, I don't hold the mukse bichlal. However, leditchu oduli mia, agree with me at least partially, techa deyotzot bepesach venechnasot berbi'a, vebaitot ninu. At least agree to me that if they come back after 6 months, that's still considered baitot, and therefore you should agree that it's not mukse. Verabanan amrule, the rabbis come along and say, lo, midbariyot ninu, that's the considered midbariyot. So basically we have three answers to this question. The first answer, we're going to say what? The first ibayatema is, Rabbi Shimon agrees to the case of midbariyot. Why? Because it's like rogot v'tzimukim. And therefore no contradiction. Second answer, Rabbi really doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon. So why then did he talk about Rabbi Shimon's opinion? He's explaining Rabbi Shimon's opinion, but he himself doesn't hold of it. Third answer, he does hold of Rabbi Shimon. Aye, but what do you involve himself with Midbariyot? Really, Midbariyot, that whole subject, he wasn't talking in his own opinion. His eye hold like Rabbi Shimon. There's no difference, Baitot, Midbariyot, there's no Mukseh, according to Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, but when he gave it his opinion on Bariyot, no, he was saying, rabbis, you who hold of Mukseh, I don't, for yourselves, agree to me that that's not Midbariyot, that they go away for 6 months. You should define Midbariyot as what? Going away for 12 months. And the rabbis came back and said, nah, we don't agree with that. For us, we hold Midbariyot is 6 months. Now we discuss the halakha. Amar Abba Bar Hana Amar of Yohanan Amru. They said, who's Amru? They said, who's they? That she says, the Hachamim of the Yeshiva. The Hachamim of the Yeshiva said, Hadacha K'Rabbi Shimon. So again, get the names here. Rabbi Yohanan came along and said that the rabbis of the Yeshiva claim that the Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, meaning the lenient view of Mukseh. Kamara Sumiya Amar Rabbi Yohanan Ache. Did Rabbi Yohanan say that we follow the lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon by Mukseh? There was an old rabbi that they called him Kiduya. That's the name of the place that he came from. The Amrila, and some say Siduya, meaning Sabah Siduya, the old man from Siduya, the name of a place. Either he was called Sabah Kiduya or Sabah Siduya. Rabbi Yohanan. He asked the question to Rabbi Yohanan. What was the question he asked? Kina shel tanegolet ma'u letaltule b'shabbat. He asked them like this. A kina is a coop. That's where the chickens stay, yeah? He said, kina shel tanegolet, it's a coop for chickens. Can you move it on Shabbat? Is it mukseh on Shabbat? Straight question. Amar les, or Rabbi Yohanan answered, what are you talking about? Klum asui. So what do you mean? This is obviously made for tanigolim, for chickens, and therefore it's got to be mukseh. Now Rashi says, "Klum asui leshum tashmish." Is the chicken coop made for anything else but ela letanigolim hilkach? Havi lemelachto leisur. Therefore, its primary function over here is why it's only for isur, because the chickens are mukseh, according to him, vasur alma ite mukseh. So obviously we see that Yohanan holds of mukseh. In this case, for example, he told him what? The coop is mukseh. Why? Because it's for the chicks. Obviously he's holding what? That these chicks over here are mukseh, and therefore you see that Rabbi Yohanan does hold of mukseh. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, let's say, might have been lenient. So you see Rabbi Yohanan is mahmid regarding mukseh. The Gemara says, no. You didn't get the full case. Hacha b'may askinan, di'it be'efroach met. In the coop, there was a dead chicken in the coop. Actually, a dead chick. Efroach is a chick, a small one. What does that mean, anything? What does efroach met got to do? Well, efroach met, even according to the Bishamon, can be mukseh. Why? Because there are different opinions on how far Rabbi Shimon holds of Mukseh. But one version of Rabbi Shimon holds like this. We'll see it immediately. I'm going to give it to you now, outside. A regular animal on Shabbat is Mukseh usually. Animals are Mukseh. Ba'alei Hayim are Mukseh. However, Rabbi Shimon says, let's say an animal dies on Shabbat. Then Bishamon allows you to take that dead animal now, cut it up, and give it to the dogs. Because really the dogs can eat a dead animal. A human being was not allowed to eat it because it wasn't nishat and it wasn't slaughtered properly. But dogs can eat a nevelah. That's the Bishamon Sita. So there's a whole machloket. To what extent was the Bishamon lenient on that case? Some rabbis say, only if the animal went into Shabbat sick. Right. No, sick. Where already in your mind, you anticipated that it's going to die. Then already, if it dies on Shabbat, you can give it to the dogs. But some opinions are strict in the Bishamon and say, no. The Bishamon says, for example, I'm sorry, lenient. Some opinions say, even if the animal went in healthy on Shabbat and then it died, it's okay. It's also permissible. So now let's discuss the case that they asked Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi, we have a chicken coop. Okay, chicken coop, is it mukseh or not? And the case was talking about what? Where there was a throw ahmet in the chicken coop. And what did Rabbi Yohanan say? Rabbi Yohanan said, what are you talking about? Vadai. What's the question? As if it was pashut. So the Gemara analyzes. Hani chale mor bar amemor mishime derava. The Amar Modeh Ayah Rabbi Shimon Bebaleh Chayim Shemetu Shasurim. We understand the answer that according to Rabbi Shimon, animals that die on Shabbat, meaning they went into Shabbat healthy and they died on Shabbat, like this chick, it went into Shabbat alive and it died on Shabbat. Therefore, you didn't anticipate such a thing. Even Rabbi Shimon will say, Mukseh, human beings can't eat it, and since it wasn't prepared, so to speak. Because going into Shabbat it was alive and healthy, so therefore for the dogs it's also off limits. Oh, we understand, which means Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting himself. He said Arachakan Rabbi Shimon, and he forbade the chicken coop over him because there was a dead chick, and Rabbi Shimon agrees that a dead chick that died on Shabbat is also mukseh. No contradiction. You could hold of Rabbi Shimon and still hold that the chicken coop is mukseh because of the dead chick that's in it. However, Ela lemor bered Rabbi Yosef, but according to another rabbi called Mor bered Rabbi Yosef, Meshem de Rava de Amar Halu kaya Rabbi Shimon afilu bebaale haim shemetu sheen mutarim ma'ika lememar. Means that rabbi holds that Mishmon was so lenient that even if it was healthy on Shabbat, going into Shabbat, and it died on Shabbat, still Rabbi Shimon is lenient. Oh, so now we have a problem. Because Rabbi Yochanan, you said, Halakha follows Rabbi Shimon. Then when they asked you a question regarding this chicken coop that had a dead chick in it, you said what? Oh, what do you mean? Vadai mukseh. Why vadai mukseh? It's worthy to give to the dogs. And don't tell me that it's not worthy, because Rabbi Shimon, according to one opinion, holds that even if it died on Shabbat, meaning the animal went in healthy on Shabbat and died, bottom line, it's usable now, give it to the dogs. So we have a contradiction. So comes the Gemara and says, no. We can answer that also. Hacha b'may askinan b'di'it b'betzah. Forget about a dead chick.
New case.
They were asking him a case here where there was a coop, where an egg was laid in the coop on Shabbat. Now that's subject to the law of nolad. Right? No, that is a form of mukseh. So we're assuming that what? That's why he said it's asur, because Rabbi Shimon holds of no lad. Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'amar of Nachman. Man de'it le mukseh, it le nolad. De'let le mukseh, let le nolad. Which means, the one that holds of mukseh, holds of nolad. But if you don't hold of mukseh, meaning the one that's lenient in mukseh is lenient on nolad as well. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon that's lenient on mukseh doesn't hold of nolad. So therefore, doesn't work. Why did he say us, if Rabbi Yohanan holds like Rabbi Shimon, and you tell me this coop over here is talking about a coop that had an egg that was born on Shabbat, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's nolad. No nolad according to Rabbi Shimon. So be mutar. Why did he say asur? So Gemara says, the eat be betzat efroah. We're talking about where there's a chick in the coop, however, it's still in the egg. It's still in the shell. That even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's going to be mukseh. I'm sorry, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it'll be mukseh. Why? Well, for human beings, obviously it's not edible. It's still in the shell. Therefore, the chick is not permissible till it comes out. How are you going to eat it? Okay. Even dogs won't eat it, Rashi says. Why? Because they don't eat the shell. Which means when they see a shell, even though there's a chicken there, they don't eat it, because bottom line, they got to break through the shell, they're not going to do it. So therefore, that's the case where even Rabbi Shimon will say it's a suit. So let's review. The question they asked Rabbi Yochanan, I have a coop, and in the coop I have a betzat efroah, and there's a chicken there, mukseh or not? And what did he tell them? Vadai, vadai mukseh. And Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Shimon, but still, it can be mukseh. Now, I just want to explain to you the dialogue that was said. Go back to now the question, where Saba Kiruya or Siruya is of Yohanan. Kina shil tanegolet maulet tiltule b'shabbat. Right, he asked them, could you move the coop? What did the Yohanan answer back? Klum asui el letanegolim? What do you mean? The coop is made for chickens. It's strange the way he answered them. He asked them a pointed question. He should have said, it is mukseh or it isn't mukseh. He answered them like rhetorically. He said, oh, what kind of question? Isn't it made for chicks? So based on the Yohanan's answer, we have to really just touch up the question a little better. So the Yohanan's answer makes a little more sense. So that's what Tosafot does for us. Tosafot explains it like this. And we'll end with this. If you're talking about a Betzat Efnoach, which is the Gemara's conclusion, isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious? I mean, the Betzat Efnoach, it's got to be Mukseh. Human beings don't eat it. Dogs don't eat it. I mean, what was the old man's question to the Yohanan? You have a chicken coop with a Betzat Efnoach. Is it Mukseh? Well, the She'ela. Could you give me a logic why it shouldn't be Mukseh? Isn't that a no-brainer type of question? Yeah. So this question was really like this. You took the Betzat Efnoach and you placed it in the coop. Now, we have a rule. Since the Betzat Efnoach is mukseh, that makes the coop mukseh, based on the rule of basis, which is the coop becomes now a base for mukseh. Correct? Now, we have a rule regarding the laws of basis. The law of basis is, it has to be placed there willingly. Meaning, let's say you took something mukseh and you forgot it on a place, you forgot it on a plate before Shabbat. You forgot it. That does not make a basis. Basis has to be placed there willingly, intentionally. Shachach does not make a base. The guy, by mistake, before Shabbat, he put his mukseh item on the couch. He forgot it there. He didn't intend to leave it there. That does not make the couch a basis. So therefore, he was asking him like this. You have a kinash and tanegolim. And you have this betzat efroach in there. Does it make the kinah mukseh? So the Yohanan answered back, what do you mean? A kinah is made for what? A kinah is made for chickens. And therefore, it's obvious when a guy places it there, he places it there intentionally. You can't tell me he forgot it there. You can only tell me you forgot it if it doesn't belong there. If a guy put a chicken on his couch, you can say, oh, it doesn't belong on the couch. That's not going to make a basis. So he was telling him, of course, when you find the Betzat Efnoach in the kinah, of course it's going to make the kinah mukseh as basis. Why? Klum asuya ela letanegolim. Is it not made for tanegolim? Therefore, when you put it in there, vaday it's considered you put it there intentionally, and therefore it's considered mukseh. But what do you see from here, basically? You see that what? Rabbi Yohanan can hold of Rabbi Shimon. Because he originally said, the rabbis of Yeshiva Amru Halacha Kerebi Shimon. And at the same time, he came along and answered over here that the kinaz mukseh. Because even the Bishamon will agree by Betzat Efnoach, we have this unborn chick that's in the shell, that's mukseh also, because there's no viability, not for human beings, and not for animals as well, because they're not going to eat through the shell. Baruch Adonai Olam.
Amen. Amen. Amen.